pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we hear from your word again this day, we pray that you would feed us in our hearts with the bread of life. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you like to be seated? I wonder, I'm going to ask you a question about your cupboards now, about what's lurking in your cupboards, okay? There's a scary question, isn't it? What's the best piece of clothing you've got in your cupboard that you've had for years and you can't discard? I'm not meaning to cause conflict between husbands and wives here, because there might be some things others think have to go out. What is it, Heather?
A kilt.
You've got a kilt, yes. Have you got a kilt, Ian?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, just checking. There might be some Scottish there. And anybody else? What's lurking in the? How long have you had that kilt, Heather? Are we allowed to ask? A long time.
Probably about 30 years.
Wow. But it's good, isn't it? Anybody else? Did you?
I've got a 1920s leather jacket my mother wore on her motorbike.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty good. Are we going to see you rocking that in church anytime soon? No. And anybody else? What's it, Mike?
I was talking on Skype to a friend of mine, and she was looking and said, what's that jumper you're wearing? I've got this beautiful, heavy, cable-knit, oiled wool.
Yes.
I said, don't you remember? You knitted it for me about 40 years ago.
Oops. Wow. You might nearly win. Anybody else is still wearing it? That's not even in the back of the cupboard, Ian.
I have an old rugby top from school days.
They stick around for a long time, don't they? He says, looking towards his wife. I think it's finally gone, hasn't it? There was a really favourite hockey jumper for a long time, wasn't there? Anybody, any favourite bits of clothing that you just can't get rid of? Phil?
I have a Guernsey jumper all the way from Guernsey, made of ordinary wool.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
Wow. Beautiful. That's too good to get rid of, isn't it? So Yo's not here to give a comment, but yeah, that's too good. Beth?
Well, Dad, not me, but my dad still has his wedding suit, which he can still fit into, and that's, they've had their golden wedding.
So,
and he also has a jumper that he wore back in the 50s. So. He still wears it.
Isn't it funny how some things we just hang on to and we can't get rid of? Yet in Ephesians, the reading from Ephesians this morning, Paul's actually talking about putting off our old self, about getting rid of old ways and putting on our new self in Christ, isn't he? Don't think that means you can't keep a good jumper in the back of the cupboard. I'm sure that would be taking this way too far. But Paul's urging the Ephesians not to hang on to stuff that will hold them back in the past, but to grab hold of the new life that God has given them with two hands. To grab hold of, he hasn't used these words, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind, to grab hold of the bread of life, to grab hold of the life that they have in Jesus. And that's really powerful. It's chapter 4. It begins at verse 17. If you want to look in your Bibles, and I've noticed it's been titled different things in different Bibles. One thing you might not realize about your Bibles is in the original text, all the little headings we have at the top of our chapters are not there. They're actually notes that the translators put in. So in some Bibles, this chapter from Paul is called Rules for Christian Living. I've seen it called as. In this Bible I've got, which is an NIV, it's called Living as Children of the Light. Paul's giving the Ephesian church, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul's giving the Ephesian church, and through the word of Scripture us, he's giving us some rules about godly living, and that's really good news. And I wonder behind this if the Ephesian church are not being a bit like the Jews were when Jesus was talking. They're not grumbling and moaning, and you know, that would never happen in a religious community, would it? Grumbling and moaning. Never happen, would it? But when Jesus, in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus has been explaining to them, teaching the crowds that he is the bread of life, and the Jews and the religious people from his own village are having a bit of a moan about it, really, aren't they? They're grumbling and moaning, we're told by John. They're having a moan about, oh, I mean, really? How can he say he's come down from God? I mean, we know his mother and father. He grew up here. What's he talking? They're having a bit of a moan and a mumble about it. Paul tells us to live as children of light. And he wants us to live as children of light in opposition to, for the Ephesians, he's telling them to be different to the moral standards of the world around them. I wonder how you'd go at comparing the moral standards of today's world with the moral standards of Jesus' day. I think we might be a bit surprised at how similar they are, actually. I think maybe Christian moral standards have slipped in our world, but actually in Jesus' day, in that Roman culture, there was a lot of immorality as well. One of my college lecturers used to always say, "There's nothing new under the sun. Everything comes around." Paul is challenging the church not to live as those who don't have faith, not to live as those who have a poor understanding of God because they're separated from God because of their ignorance and their lack of faith. About people who live for fun and good sensation experience, he's talking about us living as people who live on that which is wholesome and good for our health. He's talking about holy living. Verse 20, you, however, did not come to know that Christ that way. You didn't come to know Christ indulging in every kind of sensual living and wonderful experience. We come to Christ, don't we, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. We come to Christ when we recognize the truth in our lives, when we recognize that it's impossible to live life without Jesus. I spent some time away on retreat this week, and one of the things that we had to do on retreat, there were eight of us on the retreat, all ministers of different parishes around Melbourne, and we're going to meet together for 3 years and pray for one another. And what we had to do for the first part of this retreat was we each had to sit and tell our story. And I don't know if you've ever tried to tell your story or to sit down and write your story, to actually put your story into words from your earliest memory right up until now, to walk back through your life. It's quite a challenging thing to do, actually. Have a go at it sometime on your own and see how you go. But we're called to know about our lives and to recognize that point in our life where we come to faith in God. I can't actually remember, I grew up in a Christian family. My mom and dad were faithful Christian people. I can't remember not ever going to church and not having God in my life. And actually, I can't imagine what that must be like. But there are other people, I'm sure there's people here who know that experience. Paul talks about hanging on to the important thing in life, which is having Christ in our life. About putting off our former way of life, those things that we've done in our lives that have led us away from God, and putting on the new self, which we get with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and living in that way. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. He's warning particularly against getting angry. There is righteous anger, but the danger of being angry is you can fall easily into sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. That's the danger of letting anger get out of control. You let the devil get a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There's a lot of anger in our world, isn't there? There's actually a lot of people stealing and sneaking and cheating and trying to get around. There's an awful lot of unwholesome talk in our world, isn't there? As children of light, we're called to be different from that. We're called to only speak about good things, to speak words of encouragement to people, to speak words of love, to speak words of the kingdom of God, to use our words to build others up. Remember, Jesus said that actually, you've heard it said, do not commit murder, but I tell you, with your tongues you commit murder. The power of words is huge, isn't it? And a cutting word can really affect somebody badly for years. We're called to use the gifts that God's given us, to use our words and our mouths to encourage people and to build one another up. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't live according to how Jesus has called us to live. So get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. That's how we are to be, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And if you're not sure about how to do all of that, Paul tells us how in the next two verses, start of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. We're not called to be cheap imitations, because actually there's this sense sometimes now that something that's imitation is not as good as something else. We're called to be imitators of God, to follow God in the way that we live. There's a couple of seats here or over here. Welcome. We're just looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God. Is that something you think about each day? Do you think about how you're imitating God each day? Be imitators of God. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. And Christ gave up himself for us, didn't he? As a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Living a life of love is pleasing to God. And that's how Jesus lived. I am the bread of life, he said. Those who believe in me will never hunger, and those who believe in me will never thirst. Powerful, powerful words. That's what we're called to do, to put our trust in Jesus as the bread of life. That staple part of our every single day that helps us to live in that godly balance. I wonder how many times you open your scriptures in the week. How many times do you have bread in the week? How many times in the week do you go to the bread of life? It's really easy in the business of the world to get in the habit of just doing it once a week on a Sunday or a couple of times a week, or to think about doing it and not getting around to it. Find a way to get into the Word of Life every week. Have a chat to Heather. Heather sells, I'm putting Heather on the spot now. Heather organises for some people to get daily bread Bible reading notes. I'm sure Heather would help you if you wanted to do that. Talk to me. There's all sorts of ways to go. There's somebody here who, at least at the moment, works at a Christian bookshop, and even if she doesn't much longer, she'll know where you can go to get stuff. So she might have some ideas about what's good to look at. There's the other place that she's not allowed to mention yet, but I think you all know what we're talking about. So ask me afterwards if you don't. Open your Bible and read God's Word. Pick a gospel and read a gospel. Mark's gospel is a good gospel to read because it's short and action-packed and punchy. Get into God's Word. Join a Bible study group. Get involved with other people so you can actually read the Word and chat about it and try and understand it with other people. Get actively involved in prayer. Not just in joining in prayers on Sunday, and that's great, but actively develop an attitude of prayer. An attitude of prayer is as simple as, if you see something that needs prayer in the week, just in your head say, Lord, really, really help that person. Peter really needs a prayer this week. Lord, help Peter. Sue really needs a prayer this week. Oh, Lord, really encourage that person. Oh, that's really shocking what's happened in that country overseas. I really pray that God, they only have to be brief, crisp prayers like that. And God hears them and honours them. Be imitators of Christ. That's how we live as children of light in our world. And if you're not sure of what to pray, we've got some good resources. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray? We pray it every Sunday at church. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Give praise to God. Acknowledge God's name. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a powerful prayer, isn't it? And it's not just about food on the table and the things that we need. It's about knowing Jesus every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us everything we need for life this day, Lord. As a parish, with the meeting we're going to have in a moment, we're going to need to just be a bit more prayerful about trusting God for the bread that we need as a parish. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do you notice that? Don't separate them. Forgive us our sins and help us to be forgiving to those who've wronged us. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, help us resist the things that the world throws at us that might pull us away from God. And deliver us from evil. That's why we do that. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I think we all know how to pray that prayer. Pull it apart, unpack it, use it as a formula for prayer. And you won't be disappointed. So it's a big challenge for us this morning to turn to Jesus as the bread of life, to follow Paul's words to us, to be imitators of God, to follow Christ's example and live a life of love. And when we do that, that's how we get to be the light in the hills. That's how we get to do what it says on our pew sheet and on our signs. That's how we get to be that people. When people ask you, what's so special about you calling yourself in the light in the hills, you can say, that's because together we pray and we imitate Christ. And Jesus helps us to do that. And that really is good news. Well, let's take some time to stop now and to pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the bread of life. We thank you that in you is everything that is good and wholesome and true and everything that we need for living a life pleasing to God. Lord, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to take Paul's advice, to be imitators of Christ, to put off our old self and the ways of the world and put on the new self, the new life that we've received through Jesus' death and resurrection and gift of life to us. Help us to be a holy and godly people who live in your love and shine your light out for all to see. In your name we pray. Amen.